Good morning and welcome to the Norwalk Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Sabbath program today will be presented by the Norwalk Pathfinder group called the Crosswalkers. Please stand as we sing our opening song as we gather.
Gracious and loving Father, thank you so much for your wonderful Sabbath day. Thank you for every single one of these kids present here today that are here to glorify your name. Lord, we lay this entire church program before you and ask for your blessing upon it. We ask that it would touch the hearts and minds of everyone sitting here, Lord. And all these things we ask in your wonderful and holy name. Amen.
Jesus' name means many things to many different people. We are all known by our names, as well as the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, I have summoned you by my name. You are mine.
Can you believe that? God calls us by name.
So God knows all of our names.
He sure does, and even knows what they mean.
I know what my name means. It means fit to be loved. I am made to be loved.
I'm sure God put that name on your parents' heart when they chose your name.
My name means a messenger of God.
My name means anointed Christian. What does your name mean, Evelyn?
My name means lively and pleasant.
We will continue worshiping God in song. Please join us in singing Blessed Be Your Name and Jesus' Name Above All Names.
Down. Redeemer of our life, and lay our burdens before Him. If you would like to join us in the Garden of Prayer, you may come forward now. Otherwise, please kneel where you are as Michael leads us in prayer.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for life you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for waking us up today, even though you didn't have to. Thank you for starting us on our way and putting clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, and a roof over our head. You are the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To us, you are our protector and protect our family, friends, and our church. You are the doctor that we can trust. Please heal Monica Ramos. Please heal Frances Chavez's mom, Neva, and our Pathfinder program today, Lord. We open our hearts to you now, because you understand us and you know how to make us new and to make us right. So keep us in your sight. This is our prayer in your name. You are our friend, our Savior, and the one who came to love us, to claim us, and to redeem us. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. So, how many of you have names? What's your name?
Barbara.
What's your name?
Layla.
What's your name?
Michael.
Good. You should all have names. My name is Kevin.
My name is Vincent.
There are all sorts of names.
For instance, one type of name is bad names. In 2 Kings, it speaks of Elisha as he's going out to Bethel. And there's youth, you know, probably around some of your guys' age. And they're making fun of him. They're saying things like, "Go on up, bald head, go on up." You know? And Elisha, he was a pretty old man, you know? So he's going up. And he's, you know, hunched over, and, you know, he just looks at the kids. He's like, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. He's like, "Curse you." And two mother bears came out of the woods. They came roar, you know, and they mauled 42 of them. Now, I'm pretty sure none of you will ever call anyone bad names again. Because, I mean, if you do, watch out for bears.
Another good thing about names is that they all have meaning.
Now, which of you know what their name means?
What does your name mean?
Meant to be loved.
Oh, very nice.
What does your name mean?
Messenger of God.
Do you know what your name means?
Isaac.
That's very cute. Well, my name means conqueror. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it is. My name means handsome.
And you are.
Now let's talk about good names. Who here knows of someone in the Bible that had many names? Here's a hint. He died on the cross for us. Do you know?
Caleb.
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus.
All right. So what are some names that we call him?
Lord.
That's true.
Lamb of God.
King of Kings.
Son of God.
Oh, yeah.
Prince of Peace.
And those are all wonderful names. And each one of them is true. You know, I didn't hear this, but we also call him Savior. And he is our Savior, for he died for us on the cross so that we may have eternal life. Now, here I have these blank papers that I want you guys to draw on what Jesus means to you. So, come on up and take these to your seats.
This is time to give money for offering, and you guys have been our church for a long time, and thank you for supporting us and giving us blessings. And we've done many things with your money, as community service and going to Oshkosh and a bunch more. And I'm asking that you can give money, because we're low in finances and we need money. And we also want to thank you for being our church, for me and Pathfinder Club.
As we have said, there are many names for God, and here are some of our favorites.
Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge.
And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never thirst, and he who believes in me shall never hunger. John 6:35.
And he also said, it is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. Revelation 21:6.
So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Romans 8:15.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalms 19:114.
Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put all my hope in God. I will praise him again. My Savior and my God. Psalms 42:6.
I no longer call you slaves, because your master is not confined to slaves. You are now my friend, since I have told you everything the Father has told me.
to be such a nervous wreck every time we do this, and they're just amazing, aren't they? So exciting. So absolutely exciting. I have, this is the most kids I've had in my Pathfinder group, so I have to say, it was much easier when there was only 12 of them. But I am just thoroughly blessed by each one of these kids and blessed that the Lord is just multiplying our numbers. So the first thing before I start this morning, I want to make sure everybody has a Bible. I put some extra Bibles out, so if you see a Bible that has a name in it and it's not yours, don't worry about it. They were in the lost and found, and I want to make sure that everybody has a Bible in their hand because I will be calling on people to read out. We need to be involved in church. We need to be opening our Bibles, right? So I'm going to involve you guys so you don't sleep through my sermon. So let's pray. Gracious and loving Father, Lord, although I've prepared and prayed and sought your advice and your counsel, I pray that it's just simply your words that I speak today. Please be in my heart and my mind and everything that comes out today, Lord, let it reach soft hearts and listening ears. And let us bring glory and honor to your wonderful name. And I ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Cameron and Vincent, can you guys pass out the sermon notes for me? And there's pens right here. Just in case you were worried that I was going to call on you, I also have some sermon notes that you can follow along. Not those ones, just the paper, the other paper, Joe. So while they do that, I'm just going to start and tell you just a little story. Right now, my husband and I are involved in an adoption process for Alexis. Now, Corey and I have been married, we'll be married 12 years at the next week, actually, and now we're finally doing the adoption. And we're just, I don't know what took us so long, but we're finally doing it. And we went and met with a social worker last week. And we're sitting there in this little office, and she's interviewing us and asking us, you know, wanting to know what kind of parents we are and things like this. And she turns to my husband and she says, "Why do you want to adopt Alexis?" And he just looked at her like it was the silliest question ever, and he said, "Well, in all honesty, it's just a formality. She's already my daughter. She's been my daughter for, you know, 12 years now. But on all of her documentations, her passports, she's going to be graduating in a month. So her diploma all has my previous husband's last name, and everything that she has carries that. I mean, we call her Harrison, and she's been a Harrison. But we want to legally change her name so that way she can carry the Harrison name. It's just, it's a formality. But she already is a Harrison to me, to us, just as I am. You guys know me as Celeste Harrison, Miss Celeste, Miss Harrison. But I'll tell you, when Corey and I were dating, you know, I wasn't a Harrison. And for all of us girls out there, guys, I don't know if you realize this or not, but when you start getting serious about dating, we start trying on your last name like a coat. You know, so when Corey and I first started dating, it was kind of like, Harrison, huh? Celeste Harrison. I kind of slip on the jacket, try it on for a minute, see how it fits. Do I like that? Then you start kind of walking around in it, Mrs. Celeste Harrison. Ooh, I like that. And then you get really creative. Then you have to figure out what your signature is going to be like, right? How are you going to write Harrison? Like, you just, we do these things, you know, because our names become who we are. You know, they're our identity. And it's a big part of us. And for us girls, when we have to change our name, we have to think about, is that my identity? Is that who I am? And names are really important. And as I was thinking all these things, I realized that God places a huge importance on names. Open your Bibles with me. We're going to start right in the beginning in Genesis. How you doing, guys? You still slow on that? Can I get an amen when you guys get to Genesis chapter 2? And who's got verse 7? Raise your hand when you find verse 7. 2:7. Okay. Donna, can you stand up for me and read? Hi. I'm sorry. It's 18. 2:18, 18 to 20. Stand up and read that real loud for me. And finish with verse 20 for me. Thank you. So here, did you catch that? This is on your sermon notes. The very first thing. What was one of Adam's first jobs? He's placed in the field, and what was the first job that God gives him? To name the animals. to name every living creature. Now, you guys, okay, some of you get puppies, we get kittens, we get stuffed animals for you kids, right? I know you guys want new puppies, but we get these new little things, and the very first thing we do is, what are we going to call it, right? What are we going to name it? And when God brought all these things to Adam, Adam got to name every single creature. Imagine that. Here God made all of these things, but he wanted to include Adam into the creation process. And he gave him the privilege of naming everything. Wow! Names are extremely important to God. They're so important that he wanted Adam to be a part of it. That's just incredible to me. Hop down to just the very next verse. Actually, let's start with 22. I'll read. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Those are the most beautiful words that anybody could ever say to a woman right there. Just, oh, she's so beautiful. She's a part of me. It's just absolutely incredible that Adam got to name all these things. And then he sees this beautiful being that is now a suitable helper for him. And he names her woman. That's just absolutely astonishing of how important a name is to God. And jump over with me to chapter 3 and verse 20. Does anybody have that? Say amen. Who wants to stand up and read that for me? Go ahead, nice and loud. Turn around and face the audience and read that for me. 3 verse 20. Thank you. So here, Adam has already been involved in the creation process by being allowed to name everything. And Adam, because of his love for his wife, brings her in and calls her the mother of all living. She and Adam got to be a part of the creation process simply by the names. That's incredible. So, do you think names are important to God? If you're still not sure, let's jump over to Exodus. Chapter 20. Let's get someone who's sleeping in the back. Genesis 20 and verse 7. I get a volunteer back there? Who has it? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Thank you. So even with God's own name, he said, "Do not take it in vain." You think names are important to God now? So we're Christians, right? We believe in God. Do we take the Lord's name in vain? Oh, no. I never do. In fact, I'm very careful. I never, ever say, I'll only say, "Oh, my goodness." Some people only say, "Oh, my gosh." Some people only say, "Oh, my." I will not take the Lord's name in vain. Is that all that it means? Have you ever lied? Even little white lies. Someone calls, you don't want to talk to them on the phone. What do you say? "Tell them I'm not here." Y'all are guilty of that, aren't you? I know when I call you now. You ever cheated? One little question on a test and get away with it? You ever lost your temper? I see people shaking their heads. No, not me. Don't look at me. What about road rage? This is my favorite. You're driving on the freeway. Somebody cuts you off. And what do? You start yelling at them. "Get out of my way." You start honking the horn. You cut them off. You slam on your brakes in front of them. And what do they see on the back of your sticker? "Jesus saves." Someone steals your parking spot after you've been waiting for 10 minutes at the mall. You start honking. You drive up to them. "That was my spot. That was my spot." And they're like thinking you're crazy. And you drive away and it says, "Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath." We, as Christians, give God a bad name. We are taking the Lord's name in vain. I was watching, one of those reality programs one day. And I was actually interested in it. It was early on in the season. I had read that one of the characters was a Christian. And I thought, oh, okay, this should be interesting. She's living in a house. It's a worldly thing. But I kind of wanted to see how she was going to present herself to the rest of the house. And I was so excited. I sit down and watch it. And she's sitting, and they show the time stamp on the thing. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. And she's sitting at the breakfast table. And she has her juice, and her Bible is open. And she's having devotion. And it's still kind of dark outside. The camera's just on her. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a great example. And one of the girls that was in the house was just an atheist, just absolute denied God. And she was very clear when she had spoken with a girl previously, she didn't believe in God. And so here, this girl, this atheist girl now, she wakes up and she's kind of rubbing her eyes, going to the kitchen, you know, to get her breakfast. And she looks down and she's like, what are you doing up so early? And she says, oh, I'm reading my Bible. I do this every morning. This is my morning devotion. And she's like, wow. So she kind of leans over and she's interested in what she's saying. And the Christian girl says, oh, you know, and I was reading my Bible this morning and I found a verse that I just felt really was about you. And the girl's like, really? And she said, yes. And she opens her Bible and she says this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The girl's like, I'm never reading that thing again. She walks away. This is the things that we do, that we say, and we are giving God a bad name. Brennan Manning, I'm going to use a quote from him, and whether it's 100% true, there's really no way of proving this, but I think there's a huge point in what he says. And he says this, the greatest single cause of atheism today, listen to this, the greatest single cause of atheism today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. You know, God is Christianity. We as Christians profess to believe in God. So when we say that we are Christians, we say that we believe in God. We need to portray that because our name and who God is becomes a reputation. Think about that for a second. When you want to name your kids, or I was 16 when I picked out Alexis's name. I wasn't having her yet, but I was in the library at 16, which me in the library just meant I was bored out of my mind. And I was supposed to be doing work, and I wasn't, so I was thumbing through books, and I found a baby book. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to look through this, anything to get out of doing my schoolwork. And I was looking through, and I found the name Alexis, and it means defender of mankind. And I was like, oh, that's going to be my daughter's name. I don't care. My first kid's going to be a girl, and her name is going to be Alexis. And lo and behold, that's exactly what I have. But I loved what it meant. And when we look at names, you know, we think about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's known as what? Honest Abe, right? He was an honest person. We think about, you know, the names Michael and Abraham and Isaac. And these are really powerful names, right? These are names that you would want to name your kids. What about names like Arnold, Benedict Arnold? Anyone want to name your kid that? What about Rahab? What about Jezebel? What about Judas? Why? They're just names. But it's because their names represent a reputation. And when we tarnish God's reputation, we tarnish his name and his character and who he is. Review and Herald. Ellen White tells us that God's commandment-keeping people are described by the prophet as men wondered at. We are to be a people distinct from the world. The eyes of the world are upon us, and we are observed by many of whom we have no knowledge. There are those who know something of the doctrines we claim to believe, and they are noting the effect of our faith upon our characters. They are waiting to see what kind of influence we exert and how we carry ourselves before a faithless world. The angels of heaven are looking upon us. We are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. So I ask you, our name's important? It's our reputation. What's the old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Is that true? Not for me, it isn't. I'll tell you, we went to Oshkosh the very first time we went, when I took my very first group. We decided one day to work on the soccer honor. And so I took a group of kids and we went and played soccer. And unfortunately for me, I'm highly competitive and a lot older than I used to be and don't have the skill that I once had. And so we're playing against this other team that was just scoring goals left and right and crazy front and center. And we're just kind of standing there watching. And I finally get the ball, and I'm so excited, and I start dribbling the ball down, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to score. And this kid, seriously, like a ringer from Mexico or something, comes around the corner and slide tackles me. And, okay, it was an illegal slide tackle, just so you know. If I'd been the ref, I'd red card him. But he took out both of my feet. Okay, if you go for the ball, it's okay. But he just slid and took out both my feet, and I pancaked flat on the ground. And, of course, I hopped up, said I was fine, walked off the field. I'm like, hey, you guys play. Praise God that we had Carlos, because Carlos had to work on my leg. I could barely walk. I honestly thought I had broken my leg that night and had no idea how I was going to make it through the rest of the week in Oshkosh. But I did. And, of course, you know, everyone just thought I was a wimp. And, you know, they were just kind of making fun of me and laughing at me. And it wasn't until I got home that the bruise started coming up. It was like a week and a half later, and the bruise, and I was bruised from like the top of my hip to the bottom of my toe. I mean, it was just black and blue and swollen. It was just, and then they're like, oh, you really did get hurt. But, you know, I can tell this story, and, you know, I can move my leg fine now. I can laugh about it. It was pretty comical. If I had to do it again, I probably still would, just because that competitive nature comes out in me, and I would still do it. But when I think about when someone has falsely accused me of something, when I think about the times that someone has called me a name, said something cruel to me, I can still feel it. I can feel it in my heart. I can still get watery-eyed because it hurt. And when we are unkind, when we act in an unchristianly manner, we hurt people in ways that are far greater than we can ever realize. And you know, you may be the only Bible somebody will ever see, and you have to give God a good name. You know, I'm one of those people that I like to focus on the positive. And, you know, we've talked about the things that we do to give God a bad name. So what do we do about this? You know, we live in a world that is searching for hope. It just baffles me. Oprah Winfrey can open up a church and she has people flocking to them, just dying. I mean, standing room only. People are watching her on the internet, and we can barely fill our church pews. People are searching for hope. They're searching for something positive. We need to give that to them. When a few years back, before I started working at the church, I had a daycare. And I had, you know, little babies running around every which way. I had my 15-passenger van. You guys remember that big red thing? It was great. But one of the things when my kids would play outside that I would teach them is I would teach them where they could play on the property line. You know, I have little babies. And just to digress a little bit, parents, you know when you're teaching your kids how to ride the bike and, you know, you finally let go for a second and they're riding and all of a sudden you see that brick wall coming and what do you say? Watch out for the brick wall. Watch out for the brick wall. And what do they do? And they crash right into the brick wall, right? It's inevitable. No matter where you tell, what you say, it's just boom, they crash right into it. And one of the things we need to focus on and is saying where you want them to go. And so what I would do with these little ones is I would let them play all around. I'd walk them around, and I'd walk them to the end of the property line, and I would say, driveway, stay on the driveway. And I would turn them around and walk them back. And I would do this for them for about half of the day. I'd walk them all the way to the end, get their foot, and like push them over a little bit and say, ah, driveway. And I'd bring them back to the driveway. And by the end of the day, I could sit there and watch them play. And any time they got close, I would say, driveway, and they would turn back around. Positive is what works in our brains. Our brains we can't comprehend the negative. All we hear is the word, and we focus on that word. And so we have to refocus our mind on who God is to us. Because when we can focus and think about who God is to us, then we will portray that to the world around us. So I'm going to ask you. We talked to the kids this morning and asked them what are some of the names that God is to them. What are some of the names that God is to you? Don't be afraid. Shout it out there. Savior. Friend. I'm sorry, what? Provider. The Way. Prince of Peace. Redeemer, healer, amen. He's an awesome person. What else? What? Morning Star, Lamb of God. What was this over here? Protector, amen. King of Kings, grace, That's beautiful. Light of the world. The I am. The lover of my soul. The God is love. Wow. The truth. The way. Awesome God. Wow. Does that not just give you goosebumps, you guys? You think about just the names of God and who He is. It's incredible. My favorite way to address God is Father. I didn't have a dad growing up. And so when I came to the Lord and allowed Him to be the Father and man in my life, it changed my life. As Christians, we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's our goal. And it's even more personal, I think. If you think about how you relate to God, you think of the name that you hold most dear, Healer, Prince of Peace, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Protector. When you think about who He is to you and you focus on that, for me, when I hear Him say those words to me, when I hear Him say, "Well done," what He says to me is, "My precious daughter, well done. Come home." There's nothing better. And if we can wrap our mind continually around who God is, the name that means the world to you, and you focus on that, everything that you portray outside of these doors will be a representative of that characteristic. And you can bring others to Christ through your example. And that is our goal as Christians. So my challenge for you is to impress that name of God into your mind and into your heart, and allow that to be your focus in life so we can draw others to Christ.